Growing up in a liberal and supportive environment that exposed you to diverse people and cultures from a young age can give you the courage and confidence to pursue what you truly want. Our guest this week, Anya Pandit, had these experiences which left a lasting impression on her, empowering her to challenge stereotypes and break free from them. Today, Anya is an engineer working with Micron Technology in Singapore and running her food blog. She's also the author of a coffee table book. Let's talk to Anya and understand how her exposure to different cultures impacted her and shaped her into the person she is today. Hi, Anya, and welcome to this show, where we get women achievers, who we call women trailblazers, to share the stories of their lives with us, to tell us what they have faced, the challenges, ups and downs, highs and lows, successes. The whole idea is to get other women to also get inspired and, you know, work towards getting to their full potential. And of course, eventually we want to build a community of women who are there to support, empower, and motivate each other. So welcome to the show, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much. It is an absolute pleasure to be here and to really just be considered as a trailblazer. I think I was having a conversation with somebody earlier this week, and that it is so important for women to be sharing their experiences about any of the challenges, not just exclusive to challenges, but challenges, successes, just any experience that they wish they had heard about when they were younger. Yes. Because this is something that is very important, and especially in this day and age where we are able to share across so many different platforms and make this information available to people more readily, I think we really must take advantage of it. And I really thank you for having this and having this as a resource available for young women and women everywhere to learn from. So we need a lot more people like you to help bring all like the women together.
It's very important, very critical. Okay, so Anya, just tell us a little bit about your early life, your childhood, and any impact which your upbringing had on you.
Well, I have been raised by an incredibly strong, independent woman, and without my mom and without actually just how she raised me, I really would not be the woman I am today. That also goes for my dad. My dad is, I just recently taught him the term girl dad, and I don't really think he understands it yet, but he is a very proud girl dad. And both of them have always gone out of their way to support me in whatever I've wanted to do. And ever since I was a young kid, I have had many ideas. I think I changed what I wanted to be every other month based on whatever TV show I was watching. And without their support, I really would not be here today. Like me as an engineer, me as an entrepreneur, me as just a person, it's their support and their encouragement that has gotten me here. So they're a very big part of who I am. Now, just like a little bit of a rewind. I was born in Bombay because my parents were working there at the time. My family is mostly located in Delhi. When I was 2 years old, we moved to Hong Kong. And so I grew up in Hong Kong, and that was the most incredible experience I could have ever asked for. And I tell my parents this a lot, in that I'm so thankful to have had that experience and going to some of the best schools in Southeast Asia. I went to Hong Kong International School, and I had an incredible time. The community, the academics available, the faculty, just everything, those are probably some of the best years of my life. And they definitely set up a very strong foundation to like who I've become as an individual today. I think the encouragement that I got from my teachers have played such a critical role in my development, because my teachers from the beginning, they were very quick to identify where I was a strong performer, and they were also very quick to recognize which areas I was most passionate in. And this was something that they recognized before I myself could. And them pushing me in the right direction really helped a lot. After Hong Kong, I went to Boston University, where I studied biomedical engineering.
Okay.
And biomedical engineering is a very special subject to me because I had discovered it when I was 16 in high school, and I loved science at that time. I loved chemistry in particular, and I liked the idea of medicine. Whether I wanted to pursue medicine, that was a separate thing. But when I learned about biomedical engineering as a subject, I felt that it was a very unique subject, and that I could still be very much involved in the medical like industry while not being a practicing doctor. So I did a summer course when I was 16 in biomedical engineering, fell in love with the subject, and when it came to choosing a university, for me it was very important to go somewhere where the research was being prioritized and the professors were making very useful and helpful contributions to this field. So the reason why I picked BU is not only because it is a top 10 ranked program in the country, but some of the professors' research really resonated with me. And I was even just reading an article this morning about one of the professors who developed a bionic pancreas because his son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was a baby. So all his life, his dad was trying to create this bionic pancreas for his son so that his son wouldn't have to worry about manually dispensing his own insulin. And it was amazing, like just knowing that I could be taught by professors who were contributing to changing the lives of so many people who struggle with this disease and so many other diseases. That is really what like made me choose to go to BU. And I have no regrets in that. So that's a little bit about me. Now I live in Singapore and I have been living here for the past 3 years. I work for Micron Technology as a new product management engineer. So I am directly responsible for overseeing the development of our new products within my factory, basically from the beginning of our packaging process all the way until the end where the product is shipped out to customers. And part of my role is to make sure that we are on track for maintaining our new product timelines. So we have very particular schedules that we have to maintain and stay on top of, because this is what allows our company to be ahead of our competitors. Because if we're able to launch the newest and most advanced memory solutions and products ahead of our competitors, that gives us an edge. So it's been a great experience, especially as a young professional, to be able to contribute this much at such an early age. And yeah, that's a very long story not told short at all. Sorry.
I don't know. So one needs to understand. So of course, I figured that it is initially your teachers in your school who spotted your aptitude for the subject, and that is how you kind of, you know, are where you are today. So I understand. I mean, I'm from the profession, so I totally get it when you say this, because yes, parents, but other than parents, it is your teachers who play a critical role in guiding you, in mentoring you, because they see you in a different setting, you know, as compared to your parents. So they look at you from a different point of view, and they can sometimes see, in fact, most of the times can see what you are good at and what you're not. So tell me, you chose a space like engineering to be in, which of course you don't, you do have women, I'm not saying that, but not as many as one would like to. So in light of that, and otherwise also, could you just tell us a little bit about, you know, the challenges that you may have faced in this journey so far while you studied or while you're working as a professional, as an individual, and as a female?
Of course. So with engineering, biomedical engineering is a little bit more balanced than other engineering disciplines, such as mechanical, electrical, and computer. In my class of biomedical engineering, it was very much an equal divide between men and women.
Okay.
And that was a very encouraging and very motivating as well, because you go into engineering thinking that, oh my God, it's only going to be men. Like, how many women are there going to be? Like, that's the perception, that's the connotation around it.
Yeah.
And while that may be slightly more true for other disciplines, even then, I would say that the divide is no longer like 20 women to 80 men. It's definitely closer to like 40 to 60, even a bit
Okay.
higher. So
Okay.
we are narrowing the gap. We are seeing a lot more women join this industry. I think in college, you don't really feel a disadvantage, or you don't really feel like you're an outlier, because I was really privileged to have gone to an institution where even our faculty were very balanced
Okay.
in the representation. So that was quite nice. Although not it, I wouldn't say it was like a very equal divide, but there were definitely a lot of women professors in engineering. So that was, again, very different than what you expect going in. And again, something very encouraging as well.
Sure.
In manufacturing and in my role as an engineer professionally, it's quite interesting, because again, you go into manufacturing with the same like reputation that, oh, this is going to be mostly men. And what's interesting is that most my operators in the line, who I deal with at least, they're mostly women.
Oh, okay.
So
All right.
yeah, so I see a lot of women every day at work, from like my operator level, my technician level, engineer level. There are a lot of women as well. Where you start to see more of a divide is when you get towards like management level, senior management level. That is when the divide does become a bit more apparent.
Okay.
And this is something that I only noticed after I had already been in the company for a year or so, because in the beginning, you're very happy. Like, you've just started, you're in an
Yeah.
entry level position. The people that you tend to interact with are also maybe maximum three, four levels higher than you, but that's it. So I was very motivated seeing that, oh wow, there's so many women around. But then slowly, you start to realize when you look at senior management, and this isn't unique to my company. I've spoken to so many other women professionals who tell me the same thing in their companies, that after a certain level, you don't see enough women being represented.
That's true.
And that is what I find the most discouraging. And especially even listening to some of my colleagues talk, and we talk about growth, we talk about like growth opportunities, like how do we want to grow, where do we see ourselves in the next couple of years from a career standpoint. A lot of them who already have families don't really want to take on additional responsibilities, because they're very comfortable at the level that they're in right now. And I understand like family obligations, it is very difficult to balance like your work-life balance. You have kids. As you grow up within a company and in a corporate, your responsibilities, your admin stuff does increase. So I understand you don't want to have a higher workload, because you don't want to compromise how your like work-life balance currently is. And that's oftentimes the reason you hear about why there aren't many women as you get higher and higher up the ladder. But I find that to be, like, again, I'm young. I don't have a family. Like, I don't have my own family. So from my perspective, I do see where they're coming from, but it just feels as if that this mindset has not really changed from what it was 20, 30 years back, because these are issues women have always been facing. So it's more like, why is the environment such that we haven't made more resources available to help all individuals, because men have families too? Like, How do we have more resources available for just any parent, anybody who does have a family, like manage their work-life balance? Because at the end of the day, that's your root cause. And if that's what's preventing like more women from wanting to climb up, then that's what we should be like aiming towards fixing. And what's disappointing is you're not really seeing that happen.
See, the thing is, the need everybody realizes, and this is what stops women. And because at the end of the day, yes, it is taking on a lot more, you know. So everybody, obviously, you can't be like, you know, working all the time, and you do want to enjoy other aspects of your life. And unfortunately, you know, the burden of the family, no matter what happens, does fall on women. So yes, it's not only women themselves. So probably, you know, that's why some of them, or, you know, don't want to be that ambitious. But yes, the environment, it is progressing. But yes, we still have miles to go. We still have a lot of distance to cover before, you know, women can be equally ambitious without any guilt attached to the ambition as men.
Yes. Exactly. Like right now, it's a catch-22 in that
you're
saying that there are not enough women represented, but it's more that women don't feel comfortable because they know that they have to compromise on X, Y, and Z because there are just no resources available for them to be able to manage both, or we just haven't evolved as much as a society to get over that guilt.
Okay, so Anya, tell me, you're a young girl, and then of course you work hard, you studied hard, but of course there are other parts of your life. You want to have fun, you want to be with friends. So is there any strategy or any way that you balance the different aspects of your life?
There are two ways I can answer this. I can be very politically correct and talk about, oh, having balance is super important. And this is something that you hear from people constantly. Fact of the matter is, finding a balance is really tough.
Of course.
Balance for everybody is different.
Yeah.
Like balance, my way of balancing is going to be different than somebody else's way of balancing.
True.
And this is what I tell, I mentor students at my alma mater, so Boston University. I'm within their mentorship program. And every year, this is the same advice that I give my mentees, and that you can definitely achieve a balance, but what's important is that you have to know what you value the most and what makes you comfortable and what really allows you to relax and recharge. Everybody talks about like, oh, you're young, you should be going out partying, you're not going to get these years back. But truth be told, like to me, that's not something that I enjoy. I like to spend time with my family. I like to go out and eat. I like to go on walks. I like my me time. I like doing all these things that don't necessarily translate to the stereotypical like young person experience or what a young person would think to be as fun. But that's how I maintain my balance. So it's tough. Having like drawing that line between work and your personal life, I think when you're younger, it's even more challenging because you're still just getting used to your work.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
in order for you to be able to draw that line, you need to give it time. Like you're not going to come up with the perfect balance solution within the first few months of your career. Like that's just,
and in fact, you shouldn't do it also. It's good to kind of explore, be aware of what are the things around you, and then decide what is it is which is important, because not everything can be important. Like you, for you, socializing is not that important. So yes, you figure out what doesn't work for you, and then accordingly you strike a balance between what you like to do and when.
Exactly. And I can say that now because I'm 25, so I've been quote unquote adulting for 3 years, not really, but you know what I mean. I've tried that where you go out multiple times in a week with your friends, but it's something that I find myself enjoying less and less now. Like I like going out with certain people maybe not going out so late, just doing something a little bit on the earlier side. I prefer meeting somebody for breakfast the next day versus having a late dinner. And these are just things that you pick up through time, and then you slowly become more self-aware about activities that you enjoy, that you don't enjoy.
Yeah.
And you go from there. That's something that is very important, and that their balance is so different for everybody. So don't try to fit into somebody else's idea of balance, and don't think that you are doing it wrong just because your way of doing it is different than somebody else's way of doing it.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
But just to add on, that being said, I think having hobbies is very important. And for me, I have my food blog, which is Eats by Anya. Yeah. And that is how I really maintain my balance, because it gives me something to really look forward to after work is over. And it's just in that where it's, you find something that makes you feel happy and that calms you and relaxes you, and pinpointing what that is and then finding a balance that way becomes quite simple.
All right. So tell me, in this young life of yours, if you were to look back, what do you think has been your most significant accomplishment? It could be personal, it could be professional, it could be anything.
Oh my, that's a very challenging question. I think I have two. I don't think I can choose between these two, but I work in a manufacturing environment, and had you told me when I was in college studying engineering that I would become a professional, like full-time engineer, I wouldn't have believed you at all. I was so hell-bent when I was studying engineering that this isn't something that I'm going to pursue as a full-time job. I thought that I would do something outside of engineering. I thought that I would do something more on the business side or the sales side, but I'd never thought of myself as actually becoming an engineer. And not only am I an engineer, I work in manufacturing, which is like the oldest industry in the world. And the fact that I love it as much as I do, that is something that I'm very proud of, because manufacturing is not an easy environment. It is a challenging environment in so many different ways, and that the culture of a manufacturing floor is not the easiest to adjust to, and especially coming from like the education that I've been used to all my life, like from international schools to BU, it's difficult to adjust to as well. And there are no pleases and thank yous, really. It's tough.
All right.
And I was very lucky to be in this industry when semiconductors, our demand completely surged because of the pandemic. So that's great from a company like perspective, but it's just even more pressure on the manufacturing side, because you're trying to meet this demand. So it's tough. And there were a lot of tough days, but being able to get through that and being able to get through that and become even stronger, that is what I'm very proud of. I think I slowly started to become even more proud after every bad day that you have. Being able to come back the next day, that's really, that's the important thing. Like everybody has bad days,
of course,
but learning how to deal with them, learning how to overcome, how like learning how to become better as a result, that is like the most important takeaway. So that's something that I'm very proud of. And second, I just published my own coffee table book, which is featuring the food photography of my food blog, Eats by Anya. That is something that I am incredibly proud of.
Every reason to be, every reason to be. What is your biggest motivation on a day when you're down and out and nothing seems to be working? What is it that kind of triggers you and says, no, okay, I'm going to go out there?
I always, like, if I'm having a tough time motivating myself, what I do is I tell myself there's something to look forward to after this.
Okay.
So I try to think about what makes me happy, but like that may be completely unrelated to what I'm finding challenging in that moment. And it always comes down to my family. My parents, like, every, like, who I am, where I am, a lot of that is only because of everything my parents have given me.
Yeah.
So that really motivates me, and that really pushes me to do better. Because at the end of the day, even if I don't believe that much in myself, I know that my parents very much do. So just knowing that you have people who know you can do it, who know that you are stronger and more capable than you may think you are, that's a lot. And that's very important. And that is what drives me to do my best and do even better each day.
Okay, great, great. So where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
10 years from now, I see myself still going strong with Eats by Anya. That is undeniable. I don't think I'm ever going to stop with that. That's something that makes me so happy, and I love doing it.
Yeah, as you should.
I think career-wise, I would love to have gotten my MBA or have gone to another, just another form of higher education. Right now, I have a bachelor's degree. So whether I do an MBA or if I do a different master's degree, whatever I think is the most beneficial to where I want to be in my career, I want to have done that by the time I'm 35. And additionally, I very much enjoy the line of work I am in right now, which is manufacturing, operations, supply chain. So I'd love to see myself in this industry, maybe at a more senior level. And part of the reason why is when you are somebody so junior and you are at the ground level, and especially when you are at the ground level of manufacturing, there are a lot of things that you feel that you could change, or a lot of things that you feel that if they were to be changed, we would be more effective, we would be able to create like a happier, more positive, inclusive environment. And for me, it goes back to what I was speaking about in the beginning. It is so important for women to talk about their experiences to encourage other women. And growing up, I didn't know a single woman in manufacturing. That's why I could have never pictured myself here.
Okay.
So part of the reason that I want to be in this is not just because I love it and I really do enjoy it, but I want to show girls that there are so many careers out there for you.
Yes.
Careers that you might not know yourself, only because you don't see enough women being represented or talking about it. But I want to be somebody that I wish I could have looked up to when I was younger.
So you want to be a role model, which I think is a great thing, because yes, it is role models which inspire, because that's how, when people know that there is someone else who's doing what they want to do. That's usually inspirational.
And not even like something that you think you want to do, just knowing that this is something you could do.
You could.
A lot of the time, you can't even fathom a particular career or being in an industry because nobody talks about it. You just really can't see yourself, like you just can't imagine because you have no idea what it's going to be like. So being a voice for that and showing girls that there are so many opportunities available for you, even if you don't think they are, that's very important.
Yes, I agree. I agree. So what have been some of the learnings of your life? I mean, in a life of 25 years, what have you kind of imbibed? What have you learned which you would like to share with others?
Having a strong support system is very important.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
I know a lot of the times we feel that asking for help will wound our ego or make us feel more inferior or make us feel less capable. But at the end of the day, everybody needs help sometimes. Yes. And that is totally okay.
Like, it is.
There's no harm in asking for help. There is no harm in ever making mistakes. This is something that I tell a lot of people as well. Nobody talks about when they make mistakes, but I talk about it all the time, because the thing is, you are going to make mistakes. Nobody knows how to do everything perfectly.
And
that's okay. You just have to learn from them.
I agree.
So that's the more important thing.
Yes, making mistakes. Yes, it's not always life is not a bed of roses. You make mistakes. And in fact, I think you make more mistakes than, you know,
you don't,
exactly. And you don't talk about it. Yeah, that's right. That's very important because that's how you get real. You know, this is life. Yeah.
And nothing wrong in it.
No, absolutely not. So tell me, from your perspective, how does the world treat or look towards a successful woman? Are they treated at par with men, or do you think there is some bit of discrimination over there, or some bit of like you just got it because of pure luck or something? Does it work like that? What are your views?
Yeah, I feel that a lot of the times your success can get discounted a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of the times I feel like that understanding of, oh, like, of course, you get a little bit more help, or you get more opportunities because you're a woman. And a lot of the times people are compensating for the fact that women were not given equal opportunities before.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times there is that subtle connotation. Then of course it's a matter of looks as well. Like sometimes people will immediately attribute like, oh, you were able to get this only because you look like this.
Yeah.
The important thing is, if people are saying this to you, it's because you're doing well. So you just have to shrug it off. Like,
yeah.
Everybody's trying to justify to themselves why they weren't able to make it.
Yeah.
But fact of the matter is, like, a lot of the times, if you are able to get recognition for something, it's all on your merit and your hard work.
Yes.
And
yes,
people I are agree. Always going to say whatever to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
don't
yeah,
that's take true. Away from your accomplishment and your achievement, because what they say doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't matter at all. Absolutely. Because you know what you're capable of, what you've done. So other people's views should not really be mattering to you. Exactly. Okay, tell me something. I don't know if you've observed, of course, you're already doing it, but you know, nowadays when we look around, we see a lot of people who in their midlives decide to switch gears, as I say, and take on different careers. So they may have trained to become something else, they may have studied to become something, but by the time they reach their 40s, 50s, they want to take up something else, like say an engineer, you know, get going into writing, or a doctor becoming, say, you know, get going into hiking, or becoming a poet, or getting into acting. So all kinds of different things, which are diametrically opposite to what, you know, they did all those years of their life. So why do you think this is happening? You, of course, are already an engineer who is into food blogging. So you pretty much, you know, you are doing some two different things.
I think it's more just you're allowed to do what you like. Where it's that I'm an engineer, that's what I do as my job, but in my free time, like, you can pretty much whatever you like, you should spend time on it. I also think it's very important to continue to learn more skills and new skills.
Absolutely.
Because you don't ever want to become complacent, and you don't ever want to stagnate your own growth. Like, who said that once you learn everything, once you've been working for a couple of years, that's it? Like, no, like, your life is very long. And with all of the advancements happening in medicine and healthcare, life is just getting longer.
Yeah.
So you have to continue to grow, and you have to continue to develop as an individual. So I think pursuing new hobbies, like changing career paths, I am completely 100% for it, because I think it's very important to keep your brain active.
Yeah.
And whatever allows you to do that, like, you really should pursue. And there's nothing wrong in that, because you can't feel penalized for like wanting to change your mind because you no longer enjoy the career you had decided on when you were 22.
There was a time when people kind of stuck onto it. So if, you know, somebody was a banker, they continued to be a banker for the rest of their lives. But now you see more of this happening where a banker decides, okay, fine, 20, 30 years, I don't want to be a banker any longer, and I want to start writing. So this is like more of a recent trend. And I don't know. I mean, I just also feel that because of social media and because of this, you know, awareness and exposure also, a lot of people are getting to understand that this is okay. You know, we can be flexible, and we can see you are a young girl, so maybe you have grown up with this feeling, but people who say are my age probably never thought they could do this.
Right. So I think there are two factors to consider. I think what probably gated people from wanting to pursue other opportunities is just that it's more risky.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you don't want to let go of something that is safe, that you know will continue to provide for you and for your family.
Yeah.
And it's a very big decision to make. I
yeah.
think social media and advancements in technology really allow individuals to think that they are able to make their dreams a reality, and that if there was something that you thought that you would be interested in, you no longer have to make such a rash decision. You can make a very logical, well thought out decision, because there's a lot more information and resources available to you that allows you to read up on your interests, how you want to go about changing your career or starting a new career, and you feel a little bit more better prepared than I would imagine you would have felt 20, 30 years ago if you wanted to switch.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Anya, as you mentioned, you have been mentoring young girls at your alma mater and talking to them and, guiding them. So what is it that you tell them? I mean, what some, pieces of advice that you could share with our listeners as well?
Yeah, of course. Actually, on top of mentoring current students at BU's College of Engineering, I have recently become a role model for a nonprofit organization called Inspiring Girls. They have chapters worldwide, and I am part of their Singapore chapter. So through that, they do a lot of events with secondary schools in Singapore, where they invite women professionals to come and speak to their students about their career journeys and the challenges that they've faced.
Okay.
So something that I like to share the most goes back to what we were just talking about is, when I was younger, and when you're in school, you're very much told that you have to always get 100%, and that there's very little room for error and making mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And having that mindset and being afraid to make mistakes really, I believe, hinders your growth as a professional and also hinders your success. And this is something that, I studied engineering. So as soon as you go from high school and getting only top grades and then going to engineering, where top grades just don't exist,
mm-hmm.
you get a reality check very quickly. But a lot of the times, the students who I speak to, they're
yeah.
so afraid of making mistakes. And this is what I tell them, in that your mistakes do not take away from your value,
yeah.
nor will they take away from your success, nor will they take away from your future success and what you are capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stop being afraid of making these mistakes,
yeah.
and you have to learn to get over them quickly, because if you get stuck into oh my God, I made this mistake, I'm not that good, and you go down that spiral, that is a lot more detrimental than if you just own up to, okay, I made this mistake because I didn't know this. Identify why you made it, work towards correcting that, learning from it, and then move on. That is the best you can do. And this is really something that I tell them again and again, because I think especially growing up in Asia, there's that really big pressure in that you have to get 100. You can't make any mistakes. You have to grow out of that mindset, and that making mistakes is fine. Making mistakes is normal. It happens all the time. And what I've discovered as an adult is that adults don't talk about when they make mistakes, which is not a good thing, because you set yourself up to the standard thinking that everybody around you is perfect, everybody has been perfect, they never went through the same struggles, but you quickly realize that everybody has gone through this, they just don't talk about it.
Yes.
And adults just conveniently forget about all the struggles that they faced when they were just starting out. That's what I tell them, and that it's completely normal. Don't think that you are alone in going through this.
Yeah.
And it is completely okay. I really encourage you, make the mistake. If you don't know something, that's fine. Own up to it. Don't lie about it.
Yeah.
And then move on. That is a very important piece of advice that I share.
Okay. Anything else that you would like to tell us?
Another thing is definitely always work very hard. Hard work, there is no substitute for hard work.
Definitely not.
And your hard work will never go wasted. Like, you might feel like for a particular project, you might have worked so hard on, and maybe it didn't go the way that you had wanted, but your hard work will still benefit you in some way. That's the most important takeaway. And that it might not like directly contribute to the result you were hoping for, but that doesn't mean that was a wasted effort. You still take a lot away from all of the hard work that you've put in. You definitely picked up some skills, some learning through that. Maybe it didn't contribute in what you were thinking it would, but that doesn't take away from just the experience of doing it. Definitely. So that's another thing. And this is something my dad always told me, because he would always say, like, you have to work hard. You have to put in the time, because you just have to. There's no choice, and there is really no shortcut.
There isn't.
You have to do what you have to do, but there is merit and there is purpose behind it, because how else are you going to learn as much? How else are you going to set yourself up to really compete with the people around you? And how are you going to get yourself to stand apart from everyone else? Like, you have to in some way or another. So that's another thing that I tell them, in that sometimes you feel discouraged because you think that your hard work is not giving you the results that you've intended, but you have to realize that it's not like a linear equation.
There cannot be a cause and effect. It will have an impact someday. So is this more for girls, or you think, I mean, this is true of, this is not, it hasn't got anything to do with gender. I think it's
I think it's for young professionals everywhere.
Anything that you would like to tell young girls?
I think that a lot of women will always face a little bit of I don't want to say a challenge, but in that whatever you are doing is going to generate a lot more buzz than if a man was doing the same thing. Like, a lot of people are going to have something to say about what you are doing and how you are doing it, versus if a guy was doing the same exact thing.
That's right. That's right.
You can either take it two ways. You can either get very hassled by it and let that impact what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it is very easy to get hassled by it. There are certain things that rub me the wrong way, and I can't seem to shake that off. Mm-hmm. But it's very important to realize that people are always going to continue to say something. You can't control what other people are going to say. Yeah. And everybody is going to interpret your actions and your success and your contributions in their own way. You can't convince somebody else of believing something if they don't want to believe it. Yeah. People are going to believe what they want to believe. Yeah. And a lot of the times it is disappointing, but people don't want to celebrate your success. That is for any gender, actually. It's just human nature. So that's one thing. And that if somebody says something that is not very favorable, or if they imply that your success is not just because of your merit and your hard work, you have to learn to develop a thicker skin and shrug it off.
Yes.
And this is not easy. I am in no way saying that I am great at this. Mm-hmm. It is something that I'm still trying to work through.
It takes a long time, yes. But the awareness has to be there. You have to know that this is something I have to do. It may take you a while to get there, but that's okay.
And it's also, if the thing that helped me get through this is understand where the other person is coming from. If they are saying these things, why are they saying these things? Like, think about it. Yeah. They must not be very happy about where they are.
Yes, of course. So, there is some insecurity, some envy, some jealousy at the back of it. So
that's one thing that I think is very important, and that people are always going to have something to say. If you want to continue to be on your track of success and doing well, you have to be able to kind of shrug it off and move past it and just continue to tell yourself that what they are saying is inconsequential. Just move on. But the thing is, we are in a very interesting era in that we have a lot of women talking. We have a lot of women around. And what we need to start to do as women is support each other even more than continue to tear each other apart. And this is like a day, like this is a very old thing. But that is really what we need to do. We have to continue to be
what I'm going to be talking about, that how women can support each other and what they always say, that a woman is a woman's worst enemy. I mean, is that a myth or is that true? What do you have to say?
I think it's entirely true. And that is so, it's so disappointing, actually. It depends. Like, I think it is not as bad as I think it was before. Mm-hmm. But the analogy that I use is 20, 30 years ago, mm-hmm. it was so hard for a woman to be given the respect in a professional environment, to be given an opportunity. As soon as a woman got one seat, our thinking is that we only have one seat. We only get one seat. So I cannot allow another woman to come and replace me.
Which was true also at that time. Maybe at that time there was only one seat.
Yeah. But our thinking should not be that. Our thinking okay, we have one seat. We need to make one more. Like, how do we create more seats for us? Like, our mentality needs to shift from, I am protecting my seat because I don't think, like, there are other seats available. Mm-hmm. No, we have to switch. We have to say, okay, we got one seat. Now we have to get more seats. And how do we get more seats? Like, that is something that I think we are slowly working towards. Like, you are seeing that happen because that is what men do, in that they get one place and then they want to get all of their friends to come and join them. We need to do that too. We need to move away thinking that there's only one seat for us. No, we have worked so hard over the past few decades to ensure like there is more equality and more equal opportunities available for us. Now we need to start really owning what we have been given. If everything is equal, great. Now we're going to have to embrace that mentality and act like it. Mm-hmm. Stop protecting the two seats that we have and start like taking the other three as well. Like, we need to take what we are owed and what we have like fought for. Like, that's what equality is, right?
Yeah, I agree. So I guess it comes from a space where women did not have it. So they slowly started getting it. So if I am the only one, I probably, you know, work from a very narrow-minded perspective and I'm only looking at myself. And I also feel that if we were to reverse the situation and if men were to come from that space, probably they also would have been like that. But it's like, unfortunately, the women. But yes, we are getting over it. And I think now a lot of women, young girls like you, are realizing, even my age group, we're realizing and we're working towards getting together and, you know, supporting each other, because there is no other person, no other gender that can understand a woman better than a woman. You know, we go through the same kind of things. So we, you know, understand each other so well. So why not be there for each other? And I think that, yes, now onwards, you know, we will get there, because now more and more women are coming out there. So there is not so much of insecurity and, you know, jealousy or whatever.
And it's, again, it's just shifting that mindset, and that this is like, we are no longer allotted that one seat.
Yeah.
Like, that is the bigger thing, and that we no longer have to protect like the one.
Yeah.
Thinking absolutely. That, oh, no, like, we only have this. Like, no, like, just shifting that mentality. Because if you believe that we only have one seat, how are you ever going to get more seats?
True.
You have to go in thinking that we already have these seats. We have to start getting our people in and making sure that we are represented in the way that we have been fighting to be represented.
Correct. Okay, so finally, Anya, what do you say? Can a woman have it all?
I love this question, because what I like to ask, or what I like to respond with, is what is all?
Yes.
Like, this is something that is very different for each person.
Absolutely.
Having it all comes from within. You have to define what all is for you. Like, yes. Again, yes. My version of having it all is going to be different from your version of having it all.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Either way, my version is like no less or no better than your version.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What constitutes it like as being like having it all?
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
depends on what you believe. So yeah. That's what I like to say, and that you can absolutely have it all. Like, you can have and you can strive for anything that you want, but stop trying to fit into somebody else's perception of having it all.
Yes, yes.
Like, that's don't important. Let, yeah, and don't let what somebody else thinks of as having it all make you feel any less. If you feel that you have accomplished what is important for you, what is in line with your values, because again, this is a very, it is a very personal belief, and it just goes down to what you value the most. And this is going to be different from other people. And I think as society, and I think in school, you're kind of trained to be a cookie cutter, and that everybody is going to be somewhat the same. Like, at school, you're graded in the same like scale, and that's what you're used to. But as you grow older, that changes. And you realize that what I like, again, is going to be different than what you like. And what I want to be 10 years from now is different than what you want to be. And what I value as success is going to be different than what you value as success. But either way, what I think is being successful is no like better or worse than what you think is being successful. So yes, you can have it all. You have to first define for yourself what it means to have it all.
What your all is, then, yeah.
Yeah, what your all is. And then, yes, absolutely. There is nothing stopping you from achieving that. You just need to believe in yourself. You need to have a good, strong support system.
Yeah.
Because it is a nice thought to think that you can do things on your own, but everybody needs a strong support system. And that's so, like, that is so incredibly important. So you have faith in yourself, you have a good, strong support system, and you can absolutely do whatever you set to accomplish.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so thank you so much. It was indeed wonderful talking to you. And it's always good to get a perspective of the young blood, the young mind, because, you know, sometimes you feel that, you know, as you grow older, maybe you get fixated in your ideas and ways of thinking. And it's always good to get a fresh perspective. So it was really nice talking to you. I hope you enjoyed being with us. And
No, absolutely. I had a wonderful time. And thank you again so much for inviting me. I really enjoy all of your articles, your podcasts, and just hearing from all the other women that you have interviewed on this platform. And I am so honored to be considered as one of them as well. So thank you.
It's really good talking to you. So thank you once again.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Tune in every Thursday for some more inspiring conversations with women trailblazers. If you like the show, follow us, and you could leave a review to help us get better. You could even get in touch with us on any one of our social media handles.